You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting to our program on another Saturday afternoon. Donna and I co-pastor a church in Stuart we have for many years. We named it Spirit of Prophecy way back. And so we're honored to be here with you. My precious wife is not with me today across the desk here. She had kind of a relapse about her AFib, and so they put her back in the hospital, but they're working on it. They're going to get it resolved, and hopefully she'll be back next week. So I'm doing this program by myself again, and it seems so strange not to have her across the table because we've been doing this for 20 years together. So we're honored to be with you. As we said, hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on from 12 noon until 1 every Saturday. I want to share something with you today that I don't believe I've ever totally, fully taught on the radio. I've talked about a few excerpts out of it here and there over the years, but never the complete picture of this. And this is a prophetic word for us even today. Excuse me, I had to get a drink of water there. So we're honored to be here with you as always. As we say, I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. And this is a wonderful season that we're in now. Think about it. We're just now moved into the month of Elul, which is the month called Teshuvah. It's a time to repent and turn around and come back to God. Well, Teshuvah lasts actually for 40 days, not 30 days. It ends on the Day of Atonement. And so this is a time with Israel right now that they're really examining themselves because they want to make sure they're right with God. Because if they're not, you know, they're going to be left. They won't be caught off the earth, you know, if they are alive when He comes. Or if they die and not knowing the Messiah, they won't be resurrected at that time. It'll be years and years in the future. But we're hoping that more and more of them will come during this season again this year. We're getting so close to the end. And I want you to know as I start to teach this today, I'm not going to try to tell you when Jesus is coming back. You know, I'm not trying to do that. I've had people accuse me of that. But remember this, with God's prophetic word, with the seven appointed times and all that, we know the time of the season that the Messiah will return from Genesis chapter 1, those 7 days. We know when He's going to return. But we don't know, the thing we don't have in the equation, we don't know for sure what year we're on. But we know the season of the year. So are you ready? Could it be this year? Could He come back this year on Rosh Hashanah, on trumpets? This is resurrection time, this trumpets. One of 2 days. Could you be ready to go? I hope all you have to do is ask the Messiah to come into your life. Turn your life over to Him. And I'm praying for the Jewish people heavily at this time because we want them to be in the kingdom of God. And so I pray for them that more and more will come. So we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And I thought I might share something with you about myself as we begin to teach this. You know, I got born again back in 1982, and I was in a wonderful church, heard a lot of good teaching. But one day after 2 or 3 years, about 4 years, I was reading my Bible one day and talking to the Lord, and I just heard this ring through my spirit, man. He says, "You've been robbed." And I thought, what am I robbed of, Father? What am I being robbed of? And so as I meditated on that and prayed in tongues, He spoke to me. He says, "You've been robbed of your Jewish roots." And I thought, wow, because He made me realize this book I got in my hands, this King James Bible, this is a Jewish document, not a Christian document. This is a Jewish document. The Jews were the ones that wrote this. And so I thought, wow. And so I got real hungry at that time and decided to start looking into some things to the best of my ability, looking at men or women that were Messianic Jews to see what their thought was about the Hebrew Scriptures and all God had in the Word of God. And so I began to do that. This was in 1988. And so at that particular time, there was a man on TBN. His name was Joseph Good. And by the way, he's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. And he got stirred up the same way, got looking at all this. And what God gave him was amazing. So he was on every Wednesday night. And I used to watch it. Well, we had church on Wednesday night, so I couldn't watch it at home. So I turned on my recorder, and when I got home from church, I'd watch it. He had a blackboard, and he was writing all these appointed times up on the board, talking about the historical events that happened and why. And then he brought it in the prophetic realm, leading out to the days that we're coming into right now. He revealed all that, and I got so stirred up over it. I listened to it day after day, week after week. So he had a book he offered called Rosh Hashanah and the Messianic Kingdom to Come. I bought that book. What an incredible book. You can't buy it in a bookstore, I don't think. You have to order it from his ministry. But I used it so much when I wrote my book, it turned into a rag. So I had to buy it. I bought another one. That's how wonderful it was. So he talked about the seven appointed times that God put in place. See, they're not Jewish appointed times. They're God's appointed times. And if you buy my book, The Pictures of the Messiah, it's about God's prophetic calendar and also about God's appointed times, how they point and show you Yeshua HaMashiach. That's what it's all about. It's all about the Messiah. And so everything that was written, you know, it had a significance at that particular day with the Hebrews, but also God had many double meanings showing what was going to happen in the future. And I'm going to show you one of those here today, and I hope it'll stir you up to dig in a little bit more and to ask God to show you. So many people are afraid of the prophetic teachings, the prophetic things. Why? It's just prophecy. God's just speaking on our behalf. And so a lot of these things he gave to Israel, and they rejected it. We're going to see this today, what I'm going to talk about. They rejected it. And then when Yeshua finally came to the earth, what happened? The Jewish people rejected the Messiah, except for a handful of them. They rejected him. And so we see all the ramifications of all this. But the teachings were so important in showing us the events that were going to happen. And it didn't tell us what year it was going to be on. We just knew there was a season in the Word of God that was going to come. And I believe with all my heart from reading the Word of God, when Yeshua is going to come back to this earth, first of all, to catch the church in the air, or those that are dead in Christ, and resurrect them, will be what? In the fall. At the end of Jacob's trouble, after these 2,520 days, there will be another resurrection, not a catching away. All the first covenant people that walked with God, David and all the prophets, they will be resurrected out of their graves on trumpets again, on Rosh Hashanah. And all those that died during Jacob's trouble, those 2,520 days that are in Messiah, they will also be resurrected at that time. So God has this all put in place to teach us about the Messiah. And I had some troubling times with it. I really did, because I couldn't comprehend it. But I finally comprehended it. And one thing you want to remember, and I might share this when we get over there, God has two calendars in the Word of God. The Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, has to fulfill both of those calendars to be qualified to be the Messiah. He's already fulfilled the one calendar, and he's preparing to do the other. God had him on a civil calendar from Genesis 1 to Exodus chapter 12. They were on a civil calendar. It started on Tishri 1 and ran 12 months and came back around. God's a cyclic God. That's what happened. But then when he got to Exodus chapter 12, he's going to bring them out of Egypt. What did he do? And in chapter 12, he told them exactly what he was going to do. He says, today will be the beginning of your months. Not the beginning of your years, but the beginning of your months. So Nisan at that time was on the civil calendar. So it was the seventh month on the civil calendar. So he says, no, I'm going to make this now your first month on your spiritual or your prophetic calendar. Wow! So he changed it by about 6 months. And so that's what he did. From that point on, anything the prophets talked about, a day and a month, it was always on the spiritual calendar. So remember, Yeshua fulfilled the spiritual calendar. He has not fulfilled the civil calendar yet that will come in the fall. But we know the time and the season of the year when it will happen. As I said, and I've talked about it a lot, there's only one thing missing in the equation. We don't know for sure what year we're on. But the Bible says it's going to happen. It's going to be in the fall, not any other time. And we got this teaching today that he can just come any old time. Could he come today for us? It's, of according to the Word of God, it's not the right time. It's not the season. It's not. But we're getting close. It might be 30 days or so from now. Because we're in the month of Elul now, the sixth month on God's prophetic calendar. And then when we come to the first of Tishri, what's that? Trumpets. Resurrection. And then we have trumpets. Hallelujah. The Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles have not been fulfilled in Christ's life. But it's going to be fulfilled. So this is what I want to share with you to keep in mind as we talk about these things. Number one, what you have to do is study the Jewish calendar. Not the solar calendar, but the lunar calendar. God didn't want them on a solar calendar. He didn't want them to worship the sun. That's what Egypt did. He put them on a lunar calendar. So whenever a new moon came, they knew it was another month. The 15th of that month then would be a full moon. It was every month. And so it showed them how to determine when their appointed times came. And one thing you want to keep in mind, there's only one appointed time. Listen to me real close. There's only one, I'm going to say it again. There's only one appointed time that comes on a new moon. I'll say it again. There's only one appointed time that comes on a new moon. What is that? Rosh Hashanah. Better, it talks about at the beginning of the year. Rosh Hashanah. Trumpets. Trumpets. That's the only appointed time that comes in all that we know today from the Bible. Do you understand that? I hope you do. Trumpets was the beginning of the years, not the beginning of months. It used to be the beginning of months, but God changed that. So hallelujah. So here we are in Teshuva, Elul. We're coming up. Could it be this year that we're going to see Christ come back? I don't believe so, but I could be wrong. It might be this year. So as I said, we don't know year, what year for sure, but we know the time and the season. And so trumpets, even the Jewish people, you read Isaiah chapter 26, it makes it real clear, if you look at it, and you know the appointed times, that resurrection is on trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, when they blow the trumpets. That's what it is. And so this is God's trying to show us about the whole thing. Amen? So I'll say it again. From Genesis 1 to Exodus chapter 12, God had them on a civil calendar that ran from what? Tishri 1 all the way around, cyclic, every single year. Well, then in Exodus 12, when God was going to bring them out of Egypt, what did he do? He decided to change their month, and he did. Not the year. He decided to change the number. I should say he decided to change the number on the month, okay? Not necessarily. The month is still Tishri, but he changed the number on the month. So now, Nisan used to be the seventh month on the civil calendar from Genesis 1 to Exodus 12. Well, now God did, in 12, he changed it to the first month, spiritually. And then Tishri became what? The seventh month. So Tishri is when the month that everything's going to come to a conclusion. So he just can't come any old day. It has to be at the right appointed time. And so if we can just understand the calendar first, God wanted them on a lunar calendar based on the moon, the cycle of the moon. And so here we are. We just had a new moon again, okay? Because we're in the month of Elul now. And so then we come out to the 15th of Elul, it'll be a full moon. So every month they had a new moon and a full moon. And that's how the Jewish people determined their next month on their prophetic calendar and all about their appointed seasons and all that. So I get excited about that. And so if we can just keep this in mind, I think we'll save a lot of confusion with ourselves as well. Now, before I get into this teaching, what I want to share with you, I want to go over to, if you're at home, you can open up your Bible. I'm going to go to Joel chapter 2 with you. And this is what stirred me up years ago. And this was the verse that convinced me of what God's saying to all of us right now about the calendar. All right, Joel chapter 2, I'm going to read one verse. Verse 23, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now this just stirred me up years ago. How can you have the former and the latter rain in the first month when they're opposite ends of the year? Well, this proves right here that God has two calendars in the Word of God. Okay? It proves it. The former rain was when Yeshua came and died, and the latter rain is when he's going to come back. It's interesting. Hallelujah. Amen? So we can see this with what God did with the calendar to help us understand the fullness of all this. And so then God chose what? The month of Nisan, Exodus 12. What did they do? They had to kill a lamb or a goat and put the blood on the doorpost and lintel, had to stay in their house. And when the death came and all through the camps where the people lived, they were saved, they were covered. And so he required that. And so what happened? 1,500 years in the future, Yeshua HaMashiach came to the earth. Hallelujah. And his blood now covers you and I as we are born again. And he's going to protect us from any kind of death. You know, I'm talking about spiritual death if we walk with him. And so there's the fulfillment of it. So 1,500 years in the future, then we had a prophetic implication from Exodus chapter 12 all the way out to when Yeshua came and he died and rose. And so what happened? The people, for the most part, rejected the Messiah at his first coming when he was there. The Jews, most of them, there was a few that saved, or came and were saved, but the majority of them just rejected the Messiah because they didn't believe that he was the Messiah. You know, they have a banner in Jerusalem right now hanging over the big temple downtown Jerusalem, and it's got a picture of Rabbi Schneerson up in New York. Well, he died years ago. They still believe he's the Messiah, and he's going to be raised from the dead, and he's going to be the Messiah. No. There's no one that's ever been qualified except for one man to be the Messiah. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. He was the sinless man. He never failed. He obeyed God in every single thing that God told him to do. He didn't say or do anything that his father didn't tell him. He's the only man that's qualified, nobody else. And so they're looking for the wrong one, and they're looking in the wrong place. He's already been here with them or for them once, and they rejected him. The first visitation, they rejected him. I'm believing they're going to receive him now at the second visitation, or before that, I hope before that, or it's going to be too late for them. So we see all these things that God's put in place in his word to show us the times and the seasons of his plan. And so this Bible I got in my hands right here, this is a Jewish document. This is written by Jewish people. So when I read the first covenant, what do? I realize that God's talking to his people. Now, we can take some things off of it once in a while for the church, but we're not in the picture, okay? This is what God's doing, what he had done with Israel, and there's prophetic implications to the days that we live in right now to show them that they need to come to the Messiah. Hallelujah. So praise God. I hope you got something out of that about the calendar. The calendar is so important. So if you buy my book, The Pictures of the Messiah, as revealed in God's appointed times, if you look at that, the first chapter and a half, is all referring and talking about the law, the Torah, and also the calendar. We must understand the calendar or we get totally confused. You can't mix the two up, and that's what we have today. Even prophecy teachers are preaching today and talking about things. They're trying to tell us the end from the end, looking at all the signs in the heavens, and we know they're going to be there, and all the things you're talking about. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says we're going to know the end from the beginning. We go back to the ancient past, what God gave Israel and was written down for you and I, for our admonition today, to know when all these seasons will come and what's going to happen at the end. So God is cyclic. He goes 12 months every year and goes through all these months, and we have these appointed times that we honor in our congregation. We honor these and we worship God in spirit and truth with all of it. And so that's what we have to understand. And so it wasn't just for the Hebrews. He wanted the Gentiles to come as well. And that was his plan, that the Gentiles would also come. That was his whole plan. And it says in the first covenant, what? That they were going to be a light to the Gentiles. Well, the Jews for a long time thought they were the only ones that were going to be in the kingdom of God. But God changed all that for them to understand. He put it in the word. They spoke it years and years before. And so a lot of the Jewish people are coming today. Thank God there's more Jewish Messianic congregations now in Israel than they've ever been. So God's doing a work with them. So we have to keep that in mind. But let's look at this prophecy I'm going to share with you today. And I don't think I've ever shared the whole thing with you on the radio as the years went by. I want to take you to Hosea chapter 5. And we're going to read some things here, and I want to share some things here with you. These two chapters are very prophetic. What? To us to today, okay? Chapter 5, where I want to start is in verse 4. It says, they will not frame. Frame means they will not direct their doings to turn unto their God. Here's the word teshuvah. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. So they're in total sin here. That's what it's all about. And look at the next verse. And the pride of Israel, okay? The pride of Israel. Pride. Pride comes before fall, doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with him. Hallelujah. You would have thought Judah would have learned something from what happened in the northern tribes, because they were in captivity before Judah was, but they didn't. Verse 6 says, they shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. Why? Because they were in deliberate sin and rebellion. He hath withdrawn himself from them. The word withdrawn is what I want you to think about here. Now, God literally withdrew from them. If you read Ezekiel over there, he was so fed up with their sin, what he saw going on in the temple area and all that, it says his spirit just lifted off the threshold of the temple and left. He withdrew. Now go over to verse 14 of this chapter. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear, here we are, and go away. He's telling him right now, I'm going to tear and go away. He's referring here to the time in the future when he's going to have what? Jacob's trouble is going to come. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. Now, verse 15 is the key one now. So we see in chapter 5, the beginning of all of this, that Israel was in total rebellion to God. They needed teshuva. They needed to return to the Lord, but they didn't. They walked after the commandments of Jeroboam and all those in these earlier chapters in Hosea. And now we look at verse 15, the last verse in Hosea 5. And I like my Bible. It has 15 is in bold black. It's showing something is changing here now, a new thought, in other words. Now listen to what happens here now. I'm going to read the verse first, and we're going to talk about it. It says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. So, God speaking through the prophet here. Now, we know that the first part of chapter 5 and all to the end, almost till 15, Israel was in rebellion. They had turned away from God. So, he went away. He left them. He left them. And you know, he wasn't back again till when? Till Yeshua was on the earth, literally. And the only time that the presence of God was in the temple is when Yeshua HaMashiach was in the temple teaching. That was the only time. Everything else was gone. The ark wasn't there. Everything was torn down. Everything was ruined. By who? By the Babylonians and all. And before that, the Assyrians had attacked the northern tribes and caused problems for the northern tribes as well. So he says again, I will go and return to my place. Well, let's think about this now. So this is a prophetic word to Yeshua. He came to the earth, did his ministry with the Lord, he died, and he went back to heaven with his Father. So where did he return to here in the scripture? He returned to heaven. I will go and return. He came first, and then what? He died and rose from the grave. He returned to his place. God here left in the rest of chapter 5 before. He left. Where'd he go? He went back. Where did God go? He went back to his place. He's always been in heaven, but he went back. He left them. He left them alone. He just backed off. Says, you have your own way. You can live in sin. You can do whatever you want, but I'm backing off. And that's what happened. And so then he brings us down now out and shows us something that's going to happen in the future. It's going to be a repeat scenario, basically, with different situation, but a scenario spiritually that happened with Israel way back in chapter 5. All right? So, I'm going to read verse 15 again. God saying, I will go, this I believe with all my heart, this is referring prophetically to Yeshua. I will go and return to my place. Hallelujah. You can read something about that in John chapter 16, I think verse 28. Till they acknowledge their offense. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. I'm going to go read that with you. I'm going to go to John chapter 16 with you. I should have had this open for you. I wouldn't waste a little time here. In John chapter 16, I think it's in verse 28. Let's see if I'm right here. Hallelujah. Yeah, verse 28 says this in John 16. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So this is what this is referring to prophetically in Yeshua's day. Right? I will go and return to my place. And that was in 30 AD. And till they acknowledge their offense. Well, what was their offense? Rejecting God's Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. And seek my face, not his hand, but his face, in their affliction. The word affliction is another Hebrew word that refers to Jacob's trouble. They will seek me early. When they see all these things happen, many of them are going to seek him early in that time. Now we go into chapter 6 of Hosea. Come, the prophet says, let us return. Here's our word, teshuvah. Return unto the Lord. You know, God had just told him here in this chapter 5, that they needed to return, but they were rebellious. They were prideful. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. This is referring to Jacob's trouble in the future. But look what they went through back in this day when God gave this word to Judah and to Assyria. I mean, to the northern tribes, which Assyria took over. So he warned him there. Well, now there's going to be a repeat of this. What's it called? Jacob's trouble. It's Israel's trouble, not our trouble. It's going to last for 2,520 days with major, major judgments that's going to come during that time. Now, we go into verse 2 now, chapter 6. The first word is after. This means after a certain period of time. He's going to reveal this to us. He says, after 2 days. Now, this is interesting, the 2 days. And when I studied this years ago, I looked all through these prophets, Hosea, Joel, and all of them, to see if I could find something that happened within two 24-hour days or 48 hours total. You can't see anything there at all within 2 days. But remember, the Bible says one day is like 1,000 years to the Lord and 1,000 years like a day. So these 2 days, I believe, prophetically is referring to a period of 2,000 years. You got that? So it says, after the 2,000 years, will he revive us? And then it says, in the third day. In the third day, he will raise us up. Well, this is interesting. In the third day. Well, think about it. It's clear, I think, from my teaching and all with my book, that Christ came, was born of Mary, of a virgin, 4,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth. All right? That's 4,000 years. Now, when Yeshua came, we're going to go another 2,000 years, and 6,000 years will be here, which we're getting real close to that now. And then what's going to happen next? The third day, which, since Yeshua came, would be what? The millennial reign, the reign of king, of the king, Yeshua. So after 2 days, he will revive us. And it says, in the third day. All these other Bibles, the other translations besides the King James, says, on the third day. It's not on the third day. It's in the third day. Why would it be in the third day and not on? Because remember, Yeshua went back to his father when? At Passover. All right? So the 2,000 years will go by, as I mentioned earlier before on this program. It'll bring us out to 2030 on our calendar if we're accurate. Okay? All right? And so that means we have to go out. We have to, in other words, from the time that Yeshua went back to be with his father, it would be 2,000 years until Passover in 2030. Well, Jesus is not going to come back at Passover, okay? So we have to go out 6 months to the latter festivals in the fall, and that's why it says in the third day. It'll be 6 months in the third day. You got that? After 2,000 years or 2 days, will he revive us? It's talking about a resurrection. In the third day. In the third day, 6 months after Passover, he will raise us up, resurrection, and we shall live in his sight. Wow, that's incredible. When we think about this, what he's showing us, okay? And so we're looking to the future here. So there's a double meaning here. There's a pattern here of a double meaning right here. It happened with Israel, what happened? And now God's going to do the same thing again. With who? With Israel. He's talking to the Jewish people here, all right? Hallelujah. So you think about this. we go out, if it's true about what the word says here, we go out to 2030, there's going to be another resurrection at the end of Jacob's trouble. What day would that be on? It would be on trumpets, as we've talked about so much on this program. So it means all the first covenant people that walk with Christ to the best of their ability, they'll be resurrected out of their graves. All the martyrs that died during Jacob's trouble, during those 2,520 days that are in Yeshua, will be resurrected. And those that are alive and remain will go into the kingdom of God alive in their bodies. So there's the scenario at the very end. So he's telling us exactly what's going to happen right here in these verses. And so this is all about what he wants to do with the nation of Israel. And all because they rejected their Messiah. In chapter 5 here of Hosea, they rejected God himself. Over here, when Christ came, then they rejected the Son of God, all man and all God. They rejected him, the majority of the people. Isn't it a sad situation when you think about it? It is so sad to think about it. But that's what they had, and it's where they're at right now. But more Jews are coming now than ever before. There's more Messianic congregations in Israel, in Jerusalem and all, than there's ever been. So they're coming slowly. But we want to pray during this time of Teshuvah. You know, we're already in this time. Pray that they're going to have visitations from God. Angels are going to speak to them. Yeshua will give them a visitation. That they'll hear a prophetic word from somebody that they have confidence in. And they're going to receive that. There was a well-known rabbi not long ago. We had showed a video at church about him, that he came to the Messiah. And boy, what an upheaval that brought. when he said he found out who the Messiah was, and who was the Messiah? Yeshua HaMashiach. And so this is what we need to have. We need to have their eyes open. God wants as many as possible to come. But the Bible tells us that at the end, the majority of them will not accept him. It tells you over in Zechariah that two-thirds of Jerusalem will fail to realize that the Messiah is who he is. But there will be a third that will. And so we want to pray that more and more will come. So let's go on now. So we got this taken care of, these first two verses. Tribulation will come first, and then after the 2 days, he will revive us. And the third day, in the fall, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Talking about resurrection at that time, at the end of Jacob's trouble, could well be in 2030, around that time. Now, verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now, we talked about this in this program before over Joel chapter 2. I might just go over it again in a moment. It talks about this term rain. In the Hebrew, it can also mean a teacher of righteousness. So we could read this. And he shall come unto us as the teacher of righteousness, as the latter and the former teacher of righteousness unto the earth. It's referring to Yeshua. Now, here it shows the latter and the former, showing the latter is first and the former is going to be last. Let's go to Joel now, chapter 2. This is what got me going so many years ago about this. So we're going to look at that. I want to go to Joel chapter 2, and the only verse I'm going to look at is verse 23, okay? Get my pages to turn. I should open that up for you before we started, but I didn't, so I'm doing it right now. All right, here we go. Joel chapter 2. Now look how this is worded. Verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you, here we go, the former, that means the former teacher of righteousness, and in Hebrew can mean that, moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the teacher of righteousness again, the former teacher of righteousness, this was in the spring when Yeshua came, and the latter rain, teacher of righteousness, what? In the first month, at the latter part of the year. And so a lot of people have Bibles today, and they have footnotes down the center of them, and so they're claiming that the former rain is in the fall, and the latter rain is in the spring. But see, they're on the civil calendar, not the prophetic calendar. This disturbed me for a long time. The former and latter rain in the first month, and as I said this before, how can you have the latter and the former rain in the first month when they're on opposite ends of the year? They're 6 months apart. Because one is a civil calendar and the other is a prophetic calendar. Whoosh! Mandaroko sandaraba. He's showing some interesting things here for you and I to get stirred up and to believe and understand his word. It's been in this Bible from the beginning. It has not changed. Men have changed so many things. We pulled this out. We've added that. And Deuteronomy chapter 4 reminds us not to add to or remove anything from the Torah. And the book of Revelation ends the same way. Don't you add anything and don't you remove anything from the Bible. And you see the penalty with that? Pretty heavy stuff. And so we have to remember that. We take his word literally for what it says. We don't have to add to it or anything. And we have Bibles out today that have verses missing, words changed, and all this. No wonder the church is so confused in so many areas. The book I have in my hands, I believe with all my heart, is the perfect word of God that he gave us, the King James Version Bible. It's been around since 1611. It's an incredible book. And it's not that difficult. People say, well, it's hard to understand. It's not hard to understand. If you just look up a few words, thank God for the ye's. Aren't you glad we have the ye's? And so the other Bibles have changed that to you. No, ye means you all. Hallelujah. Jesus said that one time over in John chapter 3. He said, man must be born again, born from above. And so he had an interesting statement he made there. So I'm going to go over it, and I just want to read this to you. If you got your Bible while I'm doing this, you can turn over. Go to John chapter 3 with me for a moment. And I want to show you this. This is why it's so important we're in the right book. We've got so much confusion in the church that we're teaching this and that that's contrary to the Word of God. And God doesn't want that. See, if we're all in the same book, there's no confusion. God hates confusion. Go read over in 1 Corinthians 14, about the moving of the Spirit. He wants no confusion in the church meetings at all. All right, I took you over to John chapter 3. Hallelujah. I'm going to read verse 6 first. That which is born of the flesh, the physical, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is your human spirit, is God's spirit, which is born of what? God's spirit, is small s, human spirit. And then he says, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now he was talking to Nicodemus here. Now these other Bibles say this, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. That's not what God was trying to say and convey here. The King James translators picked it up. He says, marvel not that I say unto thee. He was talking to Nicodemus. Ye, and he says, ye, it means you all must be born again to see the kingdom of God. It's right there. So we have so much confusion today because of the books that we read and the Bibles that we're in, you know, even the Amplified Bible. A lot, so much of that is wrong. I used to be in the King James. When I first got saved, I was in the King James. And we couldn't teach children or leaders or anything except the King James Bible. But when the year I got saved in 82, the new King James came out. And I thought, wow, all the ye's and thou's and all that are gone. But I later found out that we were being deceived by what those words really mean to us. And finally, I got back into the King James a long time ago. But what a battle it was, because I was in the wrong translation. And they even changed the Godhead to a divine nature. Or a divine being. That could be anybody. But the Godhead, is so clear. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so I got sidetracked, I should say, on a wrong trail, is what I'm saying. Yeah. So in 1988, so much came clear when I got to the Jewish roots. And I'm telling you, that's the answer for the church to understand. And I said this a couple weeks ago, and I think it's worth saying again. I believe with all my heart today, most of the church has taken a lot of the spiritual things out of the Bible and saying it's not for today. And the one I'm thinking about, that's what I'm just praying in, the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. The evidence of speaking with tongues. It has never been done away with. Man may try, but it's not. We're blaspheming God when we say it's been done away with. It's the power that we need. And so the Father God, Him and Yeshua together, want all of us to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He wants it. That's our heavenly language. We can pray to the Father and the Son. And we're talking to God and not to man. But so much of the church has taken that out. And this Lord showed me this several weeks ago. I believe the reason that most of the church, people claim to be born again, are backslidden, living like the world, drinking, running around, committing adultery and fornication, all those things, is because they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the power within. It changes a person, and they have something to draw from. Whoosh, Hasan Dereke Son. Yes, the Spirit of the Living God will encourage you and comfort you and lead you away from all those things. That's what we need. All we have to do is ask for it. But most of the church, see, they believe because they've been taught it's not for today, or they never asked for it. Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. I asked years ago, and I have it. And I thank God for my prayer language, because when I have things that come up that I need to have some understanding in, well, I just sit down and I'll pray in tongues until I get a release. I get a release. And then I do. And I say, many things in my book when I wrote, I got stuck in certain places, didn't know what to, couldn't understand. Read all the commentaries, and they were all different. So I just closed my Bible and says, Lord, I need an answer. And I pray in my heavenly language, and you know what? Within a few minutes, I'd get the answer, or the next day, it would come. And so we have to depend upon Him. Think about the early disciples who walked with Christ. They saw all the signs and the wonders and the miracles that He did. It makes me cry to think about it. And yet when He left, they were so confused. 8 of those disciples were going to go back to their fishing trade. They were so confused. They should have known. He told them what was going to happen. And so what happened? They finally realized what He told us before He died and all that. To go into Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. They didn't know what it was, but they obeyed, thank God. And they went. And what happened? Push, mandra kasanda, on one of God's appointed times, Pentecost. Shosakalalabasandalaba. What happened? The glory of God moved into that room that they were all in, 120 or so, including the mother of Jesus was there. And there was a suddenly that came, and they saw a fire resting on all the people that were in there. The Holy Ghost came and rested upon them. And what happened? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. That has not changed today. It's still available today. But people are not doing that at all. They don't want it. And so I believe this is why the church is so backslid. If they had the power of the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't. I'm getting worked up and about ready to cry talking about this. I've been born again for a long time. I got born again in 1982. And it was about 3 months before I got the baptism. But when I was born again, I was excited. But when I got the baptism, I went to a new level. And I wanted all that God had for me. And I'll share this with you. All the years that I've been saved since 1982, my wife and I got saved on the same day. We've never had one day ever to think back to be the old man again. Just like Jesus said, if you put your hands to the plow and move forward, if you look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. Not one time did I ever have any thought about backsliding and going back the way I used to live. Now, I wasn't really a wicked, wicked person, but I was a sinner that needed to be saved like everybody needs to be saved that way. We've all sinned and missed the glory of God. But I'll tell you, when I got the baptism, I was so on fire, and I still am. I love God with all my heart. And when I do things, whoosh, mandalabah, hallelujah, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want him to be unhappy with me. I want him to accept me because I love him so much, and I want to obey his word like the Jews didn't do here in Hosea 5. They disobeyed everything that God had for them. But guess what? They didn't have the power within that you and I can have today, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They didn't have that. They had to depend on what their desire was and what they thought was right and all that instead of just listening to God. But a lot of them did listen to God, even though they were all sinners. And many of them will be saved. We know that. But see, they didn't have the power within to walk a holy and righteous life. And so then the apostles went out from that day of Pentecost over in Acts chapter 2, and they preached that all over the world. And the whole world was turned upside down by the thought of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and what he came to do and what he was going to do in the future. And it was all because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If that wouldn't have come, a lot of those disciples would have just went back to what they were doing. That's why we don't have any power in the church in so many areas. Nobody wants to walk in the Holy Ghost. They want to do what they want to do. They want to do what some preacher told them to do. And a lot of the preachers are teaching against this. There was a pastor one time down in Fort Lauderdale when we lived down there that one day was in a Baptist church and was preaching against the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He dropped dead in the pulpit. Blaspheming God. We can't do that. So I hope there's somebody listening here who put this on your heart. This is not something funny that we're talking about. This is a serious thing. This is holy. This is so holy that I'm almost afraid to touch it. It's so holy. But it is. But the Jews in Hosea 5 didn't have that. None of them in the first covenant. That's why you don't see anything about the Holy Ghost written in the King James in the first covenant. Nothing there. He wasn't there. Except he did come upon kings, priests, and prophets at times. But the average person didn't have that. But today, the average person, everyone that comes to Christ, can have that with the evidence of speaking in another language, your heavenly language. God says, ask and you shall receive. Glory be to God. Well, I went down a bunny trail here, didn't I? But I love God so much. Well, let's finish this. I'm almost done here. Hallelujah. So we already covered Hosea 6:2. After the 2,000 years, he's going to revive us in the third day, 6 months into the third day. He will raise us up, resurrection, and we shall live in his sight. What an incredible thing. This is for the Jewish people. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. The morning comes every morning, doesn't it? And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Incredible. Just in a few verses, we find all this out, taking us all the way out to the future, how everything is going to end. I'm telling you, I'm totally amazed. I'm amazed at everything that God's given us. And it's always been in this book. It's never not been in this book. So I hope you understand this and you receive something that you can think about in a new way. You need to understand the Jewish roots. We need to understand what I call them, the Jewish roots, but they're really God's roots. He gave them to the Jewish people to explain to you and I. Leviticus chapter 23 covers all seven, plus the Sabbath is mentioned there as well. Hallelujah. And I've had people tell me that Sunday's the Sabbath. Well, Sunday's not the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. You're listening to this program right now, today. It's the Sabbath. That's why I'm worked up with this and excited knowing what God has done. He touches my heart, and sometimes some tears will leak out. And God told me years ago, the very first prophetic word I ever got from a man, he was a powerful prophet. He said, the things that you say and do with your examples in your life and the tears that flow will say more to the congregation that's listening to you than anything else that you could say. And so he says, don't hold back. If you feel those tears come, don't hold back. Let them be a weeping prophet like Jeremiah was. And so sometimes I feel like that. But anyway, we have so much to be proud of and to know who we belong to. And he's got so much planned for us in the future. So I trust that you will receive this word that I have for you today. Thank you, Lord, that you returned to your Father. We got a lot of teachings on that. You know, he did it this year and that year. I did a lot of research and study on it. I really believe the day that he returned to his Father, hallelujah. When was that? It was at Passover. On the day that he died. Well, 3 days later is when he really went. He rose from the grave on the third day. During unleavened bread. And he went back to be with his Father. And aren't we glad now that he's sitting on the right hand of God the Father. And he intercedes for you and I all the time. If we'll just rely upon him. We walk by faith and not by sight. If we just bring our petitions before him. I like what it says in Philippians over there. It says, be careful for nothing. Absolutely nothing. But with supplication and prayer, making your requests known to God. That's what he wants us to do. And then he says, I will give you a peace that passes all understanding. No man can give it to you. No one but God. And he says, then I'm going to mount guard. Yeah, guard. I'm going to mount guard on your heart in Christ Jesus. In fact, I'm just going to go read that with you. We're almost done with the program. I got a little choked up with you, but how could you not get choked up knowing who the Messiah is? And that he's so special. Huh? Verse 6 of Philippians 4 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And you might want to pray in tongues when that comes too. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No man can give it to you, only he can. Only he can. That's it. He's it. So what an awesome thing that God gave us. He gave us that wonderful gift. And he wants every single believer that's asked Yeshua to come into their lives. He wants them to have this power of the Holy Ghost within so that we can be successful. We can walk out and do the things he's called us to do. Minister to people. Know how to pray. If we don't, we pray in the Holy Ghost. There's so much that he's given us that the first covenant people didn't have. David didn't have it. None of them had it. But the Spirit of God came upon them from time to time. And they spoke a prophetic word. All the prophets. Why, we just read here in Hosea. This is a prophet. Hosea wrote all this down from God. Isn't this amazing that he did this? And it was for the benefit of Israel. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read this all again and listen to it closely with what I've said. And then we're going to have to close here a little bit. I'm going to start in Hosea 5:15. And of course, we know God's speaking through Hosea. He says, I will go and return to my place till or until they acknowledge their offense, rejecting the Messiah, and seek my face in their affliction. See, a face, not his hand. They always come, they want his hand, but not his face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. This is referring to Jacob's trouble. After 2 days or 2,000 years, will he revive us in the third day, in the fall of the third day of that first year. He will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight, resurrection. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, the teacher of righteousness, as the latter, and the former teacher of righteousness unto the earth. What an incredible thing when we think about all this that God has given us. It's amazing. I'm going to go read something else here. We got a few more minutes. I want to go over to 2 Chronicles with you, if you want to turn over there with me. Get through 1 Chronicles. Get over here to 2 Chronicles. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you so much. I love you so much. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Thank you, Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. How do we humble ourselves? Do we just get up one day and say, I'm going to be humble? No, you have to exercise obeying God's word totally, in other words, in totality. To obey his word His commandments, His statutes, all those things. That's what makes us humble. Hallelujah, Lord. And humble yourselves. And here's the word, what? And pray, talking to God, and seek my face. See what? Same thing we read over there in Hosea. Wasn't seeking his hand, they were seeking his face. And turn, in other words, repent from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Wherever we pray like that, he's right there with us. Hallelujah. In the White House, wherever, he's there with us. And so, what an honor we have to know that we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. He will never let us down. He's always there to help us. And so, I thank the Lord for all that he's given you and I. And we have the privilege to have this wonderful book that God's preserved all these years. I have this book in my hands, which is the Word of God. Not something made up. It's the only truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. In one book, huh? One book stands alone. One book, one authority. The King James Bible has it all for us. So Lord, we love you so much. This is an incredible thing about these last two prophetic days. So if you get my book, I have two lessons in there on the last two prophetic days. And so this is all part of this teaching I have right here. One day I just went to church on a Saturday afternoon before going home and going to bed. And I lay down in front of the pulpit. Nobody was there. I just lay down on the floor. Wasn't thinking about anything. Just praying, thanking the Lord for the meeting the next day and all that. And all of a sudden, this was just dumped into my spirit man about this second day and this 2,000-year period. And so I laid there and thought about as much as I could. So I got up and went home. And I was up pretty late that night. And I started writing things down that God gave me while I laid on the floor. It was a prophetic word to me to reveal right here in Hosea 5:15 through 6:3. What God was going to do with the nation of Israel. This is not for you and I, the believer in Christ. This is for Israel, the ones that don't know the Messiah at the end. This is what he's willing to do if they'll only come to the Messiah. And so this is what it's all about. He's telling them to return to him. Listen to what the Bible has to say. The prophets spoke about, in spiritual ways, about Christ wherever we look. I'm going to take you one other place here before we close. I'm going to go to Isaiah 26 with you. This is an awesome prophetic word. We sing a song at church many times in Isaiah 26:2. It says, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." And you know, during Jesus' time, during the days of awe, from trumpets to the Day of Atonement, the gates were left wide open. At the close of the Day of Atonement, they slowly closed all the gates. And what that was showing us at the end of that, whatever faith that you had right now, what you made a decision for, if it wasn't for God, you would be lost. That was when the gates were closed, it was over. But we have two interesting verses here that Isaiah talked about. I'm going to read 19 to start with. 26:19. "Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body." He knew he'd be resurrected one day. "Shall arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Resurrection. Now, these next two verses is going to reveal trumpets and also the Day of Atonement. Listen to this. 20, "Come, my people." Who? What people? The Jewish people. "Enter thou into thy chambers." We can be hidden in chambers during this time called Jacob's trouble. They can be. "And shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself." So they're going to hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. 3.5 years. You know, or I shouldn't say 3.5 years. I should say 7 years. They'll hide themselves for 7 years. "Until the indignation," here's the word indignation, referring to Jacob's trouble, "be overpassed." There's a prophet by the name of Zephaniah. His name means God hides. Go read that chapter and see what he had, that book, and see what it says. Now, so this is a trumpet scripture, verse 20. If you know the Jewish roots and the time of the year, this is what this is all about. Now, 21 takes you out to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Listen to this. "For behold," the word "behold" in Hebrews, "hey, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." This is not trumpets. This 20 was trumpets. This is the Day of Atonement. And if you study the Bible like I have about the appointed time, the Day of Atonement is the day that's assigned to Israel at the end of Jacob's trouble. That's when the Lord will come back, and not to the sky. He's going to come and put his feet, literally, on the Mount of Olives again, like it says over in Acts chapter 1. All right? He's not coming just in the sky. He's going to come to the earth. At the beginning of Jacob's trouble, when the church is taken away, the Jew and Gentile Messiah, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who remain alive will be caught off the earth. He's going to come in the sky. He's not coming to the earth at that particular time. Hallelujah. So this is referring to his work with Israel. See, Israel is so important to God. I'm just trying to convey this to people. We take Israel kind of lightly. They're the barometer of the world for God. Look at Israel. This is going to tell you the barometer. Everybody's against Israel. You know, Israel, Jerusalem's a stumbling block to most people with three religions, you know, Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims. But it's God's city. And who does it belong to? It belongs to the Jews first and then to us as Gentiles that know the Messiah. It's incredible what we have to look at in the Word of God. So we have to understand some things. And the Bible's not that difficult to understand. He speaks very, very simple terms. Even here in Isaiah 26, verse 16, says, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. God chastened them, like as a woman with child. We're talking about Jacob's trouble, you know, the days of all, those last 10 days and all, that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not brought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. And then Isaiah talks about the dead men, including himself. They're going to arise one day. They're going to arise. Let me show you another one here. I'm going to go to Daniel. Hallelujah. The book of Daniel, the very last chapter. I got to hurry here because we're running out of time, but I'll see if I can get this in here for you real quick. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 12, the very last verse in the book of Daniel. Listen to what this says. This is referring to the Old Testament or the First Testament people. It says this, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory be to God. This is what he's going to say to all of us. He told Daniel in verse 13, but go thy way till the end be, the end of his life. For thou shalt rest, going to have resurrection. Huh? He's going to rest, he's going to die and stand resurrection in thy lot at the end of the days, at the end of Jacob's trouble. All the Old Testament saints that walked with God will be raised from the dead. We're honored to be here with you. I hope you receive something from this. We're on here because we love people and we want to see the body of Christ brought to a new place. We're raising the standard in this day and this hour. So if you'd like to talk to us, we'll give you the phone number again. It's area code 772-285-7007. My book is $25 plus about $5, $4 or $5 for shipping, and I'll get it out to you. May you be blessed of what you heard today from God's holy word. We love you, and that's why we're on this program so much. And so as we ask you to listen to what's been taught, learn things, and you'll grow and mature in the things that God would want you to grow and mature in. So as we close this program, my wife's not here every week. She says, Shabbat Shalom. This is the Shabbat. We thank you for that. But I tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And I say, Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.